some of the outlets barred from covering the briefing. Has this ever happened before?
No, nothing
Anybody
quite like this.
Anybody ever seen
Never.
This before?
I used to defend Sean. This is indefensible. I mean, he knows better. And as much as they may not like some things that are being written about them, you don't take it on by barring the people.
Barring the people. When this thing broke on Friday, I'm sorry, but I just started laughing. I just started laughing because this is such a non-story that turned into this tornado. Breaking news. New York Times, CNN, and other outlets barred from gaggle in press secretary's office. The whole thing was covered by the pool, which gives all the information to everybody anyway. Big deal. But this is life in Washington, D.C. We have other topics on the table as well. Joining us now, White House press secretary, my friend Sean Spicer. Sean, good to have you on. Harold Ford Jr. was just, it's indefensible, he said, Sean, what you did there on Friday. War crime, apparently.
Well, thanks for having me, Laura. Look, let's just explain to your listeners what happened. They have this thing called a gaggle, where you traditionally, and this has been done by press secretaries going back till years, where they sit in their office and bring some folks from the press in and just talk about the issues of the day. And I think the context is important. On days when the president speaks, traditionally the press secretary doesn't hold a briefing so that the president's words carry the day. Because we were going into a Friday, I said, hey, let's get some of the pool, which you mentioned earlier, which is a representative of radio, television, online, newspapers, who they designate, and it changes every day so that they all can kind of, share this responsibility, if you will. So I said, let's get the pool up here to walk through the schedule for the weekend and any outstanding issues. And then we expanded the pool. We included such notable conservative water carriers like ABC News and NBC News. We added some additional outlets as well, and somehow that was because some other outlets weren't part of it. That was somehow outrageous. But again, remember, as you pointed out in your opening, that they were all of everything, the audio, the transcript, is all made available to every member of the Correspondents Association. So all, a couple thousand of them.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, it all depends on whose ox is being gored. And I seem to recall that during the Obama years, there was limited access to critical information, especially to the news organization I work for, which is Fox News. And there was all sorts of private tete-a-tetes with various more friendly news organizations, and Fox was routinely not part of those. So, again, it all depends on who the shoe is on the other foot. They all get upset.
Right. In 8 years of Obama, I think he did Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace one time, and it was in the last year. The idea, it's interesting how the mainstream media rushes to defend, the mainstream brethren. But when was the last time they cared about the Christian Broadcasting Network, the EWTN, the Catholic Network? They routinely leave these individuals out and don't mention, their exclusion, and don't fight for them the same way that they do. But look, I think that when you look at, and I said this that day, and I'll say it again, when you look at our track record over the last, 30 some odd days, we've actually brought more reporters into the process. We've been more transparent. We've had the president available to them more than anyone can recall that I've talked to from the press corps. Yeah. And it's interesting. It's always, instead of acknowledging that piece of it, for example, tomorrow there's the annual network lunch where the network anchors come down. And I said, why should it just be limited to the big network? So I included CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. I included EWTN, the Catholic Network. I included One America News.
Good.
I think I also included Telemundo and Univision and TV One, which is the station that Roland Martin puts on. Not all particularly friendly, but I think that the idea was we should have more people involved to hear the president so that he can talk about his vision for America. And so I think, what's unfortunate now is to hear – to hear some of this work. I think we actually have really shown an ability to reach out beyond what is traditionally.
Well, the problem, Sean, I think, is from their perspective, is that when the president comes out on Friday at CPAC and repeats that certain news outlets, fake news, are the enemy of the people, they kind of drop the fake, as he pointed out, and they feel like they're under constant attack from the administration. And so I think they're striking back. It's their reflexive strike back because they feel like they're constantly being disrespected.
Well, but I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said the president was clear. Fake news is the enemy. And so it's interesting that they immediately jumped to the defense, because if I were accused of that, I'd say, great, I'm not fake news. I'm not, so that he can't be talking about me, because I don't, that's not who I am. So it's interesting that they sort of ascribed themselves to the title the president gave, which was, he said very clearly, fake news. But as you point out, they dropped that and say, you know, the news.
Do you think that the constant, this constant battle with the press, I mean, look, it's always going to be testy in the press room. And I think that's just par for the course. That's not surprising at all. But do you think at some point it begins to detract from the overall goal, which is tax reform, Obamacare repeal and replace, deregulatory reform, the wall, all these things that you guys campaigned on?
Right.
I worry that, well,
yeah,
you know, sometimes.
Yeah, and I think today we're going to roll out, we're starting the budget process. And I think that this is another example where the president's kept his word. And is really showing a level of fiscal austerity that hasn't been seen in Washington in quite some time. So obviously I hope that we can stay focused on those issues. That's what we want to be talking about. But I've said it before, Laura, that when folks are not going to report the actual facts or the reality of what's happening, then we have an obligation, frankly, to make sure that the truth gets out.
Speaking of the New York Times had this big story last week. About how administration officials tried to pressure the CIA intelligence agencies to refute the story about, you know, Russia contacts. And in the New York Times piece between the campaign and the and Russian government officials or in Russian intelligence officials. And in the story itself, there was one or two lines from an unnamed, I believe, intelligence source who said the story is inaccurate. But then Axios today has a piece. Mike Allen's site has a piece saying that you personally picked up the phone and connected outside officials with reporters to try to discredit the New York Times article about Trump campaign aides. And they say that's important because the head of the CIA would normally not come out and address specific cases such as this. That's not really what they do. What's your reaction? First of all, is this true in Axios?
Right. So what I'm not going to comment on the exact nature of it. What I will tell you is that the circumstances are this. We were informed by the FBI. They came to us and said the story in the New York Times is not accurate. And we asked them, oh, that's great. If the story is not accurate, can you let people know? We need to tell other journalists who are calling the White House that it's not accurate. Again, I'm not sure what you would have done otherwise, just stare at them. And so the FBI went back and forth with us all day and said, yes, you know, we just don't know we should be getting in the business of commenting on every story's accuracy. And so towards the end of the day, we were made aware Devin Nunes had let us know that he had been briefed and he knew that the story wasn't accurate. And he said, I've been calling other reporters and, you know, I just want you guys to know that I know that this isn't accurate and this story in the Times, and I'm trying to tell people that it's not accurate. And we said, oh, great, there's a couple other people that have called us to ask for that, and they've asked us for people who can corroborate this because they weren't taking our word for it. So we provided other individuals that they should, you know, seek comment from. Again, the irony of this is that we are actually trying to cast sunlight on the issue and say the story in the Times is not accurate. We were being told that they didn't believe us, and so we were looking, you know, we were glad that other people who also knew that the New York Times story wasn't true were willing to go out there and make it clear that the Times story was not accurate.
Are you guys going to come out for an independent investigation in Congress? I mean, a lot of the critics of the administration say, well, this new wrinkle is another indication that you need an independent investigation.
Right, but look at what's been going on for 6 months, probably more. We read in, you know, these various newspaper outlets and other that, you know, there's these things going on. And yet, after 6 months, there's still nothing that we're aware of. In other words, where is the substance of all of this chatter and all of these rumors and all of these unnamed sources? You can't keep a secret in this town for more than 6 minutes. And after 6 months, we still have nothing. And my question is, it's not a question of an investigation. It's a question of what are we looking for? Because so far, and even in some of the other reporting that has come out by the various outlets, they note that the organizations note that there is nothing improper or you know, any violations or, you know, any of the other reports don't seem to hold water. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what is we've been hearing about people looking into this for a long time. And yet we still are back from square one, which is everyone keeps using unnamed sources to describe something that no one can actually confirm after month on end.
Right, but there's nothing there. An independent investigation would
right,
obviously...
There's nothing new. And I think that the Senate's talked about it, and we've said, great, if they want to look into something. But again, I think the problem is that this is a solution or a story in search of a problem that doesn't seem to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they keep looking for something that isn't there.
Well, they're locked on this Russia thing. Yeah, they're locked on this Russia thing, and they say it's because, you know, the president is never as clear as some of his cabinet members in discussing or mentioning how, they're concerned about Crimea. They're concerned about other things that Russia are doing. But I want to move on to this question of leaks, Sean, because something that we've been writing. I think I wrote the first piece. Our team at LifeSet wrote the first piece on the problem of leaks. And this was in, I don't know, the first couple days of the administration, that leaks were coming out of the administration. And a report today came out, or yesterday, that you asked all the communications staffers to turn in their phones so you could check to see if anyone has been talking to the press, which I think Mika Brzezinski came out today and said she personally talks to lots of different people. One says something the opposite of the other, and they're not people in the communications team. And she indicated today that apparently lots of people are talking to the press way beyond your communication staff. So number one, did you ask people to turn in their phones so you could check them? And number two, will that continue to be the case?
Well, look, I think that we've got a problem, and I think the president's made it very clear with national security issues. And I think when we're talking about people who are entrusted, especially with national security and classified information throughout the government that are sharing that information, it truly poses a threat. And that's what we have to be careful of, is to make sure that the people who are entrusted throughout our government who have access to information are using it responsibly and not undermining our national security. This is an issue that the president has spoken very passionately about, and I think rightly so, right? He's recognizing that there are people in the administration and throughout government that have chosen to use their position of power and access to information. And when you look at where they're coming from, where these mm-hmm. big leaks are coming from about national security, it is troubling to know.
Are you confident that this information isn't coming from comms, communications group?
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, we feel very good right now that the team that here is focused on getting our word out. But we are concerned, I think, and the president has been very clear about this, that he's concerned about, you know, national security and classified information coming from agencies and individuals and that are entrusted with mm-hmm. information that's not supposed to be let out public.
Sean, did you see this report that the National Security Advisor McMaster's said the term radical Islamic terrorism isn't helpful? He prefers not to use it. It's not helpful for U.S. goals. Of course, he's the guy, for people listening, who replaced Mike Flynn at NSA. That seems to run counter to what President Trump has said for the last year and a half about, I'm going to call it what it is.
Well, I think that, to be clear, I think there's a difference between the audience and the location. And I think the point that, at least as I understand this, that General McMaster was making is that when you're negotiating with these groups and when you're in and trying to get them to join in the fight against it, making sure that you're very distinct about the differences is crucial. And that is sort of, it's a difference between the audience. And I think the president's been very clear when he's talking to the American people that we have an obligation to be honest about the fight that we face and the threats that we face. And there is a difference.
Okay. Well, President Bush came out today on the Today Show. We can't have time to play the soundbite, but hit the travel ban. And this is pretty predictable, I think. And he said that we have to be a nation that's welcoming. What's the White House reaction to the president's criticism?
Well, he also had some very nice things to say about how the president's goal of unifying the country and the sort of attacks in the media. So, I'd rather focus on the issues like that that he said.
But with
respect to his criticism, I think that, look, the president, one of the things that's different is that when you are president currently, you're provided with information and access to information about where the current threats and the current landscape mm-hmm. is in terms of what America's facing. And I think every president would acknowledge that the information that they get provided to them on a daily basis is given to them to make decisions about what's in the best interest of the country at the time. And so President Trump has done everything he can and continues to do to protect the country based on the information that we get and the threats that we could potentially face.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I hope you get that super soaker and just for fun, squirt some of the members of the press. I mean, they're good. They can take a joke. Come on, just pick up that podium and try to roll with it. That's all I can say.
See what we can do.
Sean's great to talk to you. You take care. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.